If you were here on Sunday, we talked about the high seas. Remember the high seas? The high seas of your purpose and your destiny. And we did a little demonstration on how the call that is on your life will chase you down. Will chase you down. You can try to get rid of it. You can try to walk away from it, but it will chase you down. Proof is when Elijah cast the cloak on Elisha. Elisha ran back to him and said, "Can I just go and kiss my mom and dad?" And he said, "What do I have to do with you? What have I done?" So he goes back, but then he winds up following him. The call is going to follow you. You can try to quit. Many times we get in, locked up in our faith and we just want to throw in the towel because so much is going on. Being a faithful son and daughter of Christ is not easy. That's truth. You go through some things, do you not? You go through a process that sometimes you just want to say, "I'm through. This is just a little bit too much." The high seas of purpose and destiny came to me when I was reading the scripture of Philippians 3:12. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to begin to mount this particular message here. And I want to share with you in detail what I believe that we as the body of Christ must do is to heed the call, but we must allow the challenges in our life. The high seas of purpose and destiny, out of Philippians 3:12 through verse 14. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that may I apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It is a high calling. It's not a calling that comes what you say you want to do. It is a high calling that comes from God, from heaven. It is not a calling that mama says you got to do or grandma says you got to do. It is a calling that comes from on high. That means God the Father in heaven has placed a call in your life and he is getting ready to extrapolate that particular call out of your life for you to walk in the very path that he has for you. But if you continue to walk the way you are as a child and have not put it away and grown into the manhood, the maturity that God has called you, then you will continually go through the challenges in your life until you give God your 100. Look to your neighbor and say, "I want your 100. Look to your other neighbor and say, "I want my 100. I want to see your 100. Because God wants to give his 100. So what we're talking about here is that we've got to give all of ourselves to God. If we do not do it, we will continually play church. We will continually walk into a service and continue to just hear another message, read another Bible scripture, but not leave transformed. But if we begin to walk down the path that God has for us, we are going to be challenged in our call. But if we're not challenged, we will continue to be weak, stagnant, and asleep. But he's calling us to give 100% back to him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I came into the kingdom of God, I was not led by someone telling me to repeat after them this specific prayer. I had a shaking take place in my life. And when that took place in my life, I knew that God was real. No one could ever take that away from me. But over the course of time in my walk with God, I've seen the church as a whole get lackadaisical with the truth of who God is. And many come into churches wanting to look like they have it all together, but they don't have it all together. They have a facade. And a facade is nothing more by just making things look pretty on the outside, but on the inside, it's a weak structure. If we don't put the structure to the word of God, then we can't build upon the foundation on which you entered into the kingdom. I don't want to preach tonight. I wanted to teach tonight. But there is something inside of me that tells me that we can't be playing with the thing that God has given us. If he called you in to purpose, you can't put your purpose aside. Because every time you want to hide it, and every time you want to put it and dig it somewhere, then God's going to come back to you and ask you, where is that thing that I've entrusted you? But if you don't understand the character of God, you're going to stay the way you are. No one ever said it was going to be easy. And if someone told you that being a Christian was easy, they lied. If anyone ever told you that when you come into the kingdom of God, everything was going to be all right, they lied. Because when I read in the scripture what all of the disciples had to go through, it was not easy. But yet we are so comfortable in society today with the church that we live in the church age. You are sitting on padded chairs. You have carpet. You have AC. You have lights. But I have come from a region far, far away and tell you that these people will walk miles and miles and for hours to get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they will continue to walk barefooted across the land just to get to hear the gospel. But we can't make it into church society anymore, placating with the things that God has entrusted us. We get so caught up with it's got to be a certain way. Well, you don't have children's church. You be the church for your child. Quit making the church be responsible to raise your child in the admonition of God. You do it. Well, you won't have no teenagers that can gather together. If you are requiring the church to raise your teenagers, let me get into your house a little bit on what is taking place, because they're being disrespectful, doing what they want to do. We are in a season and an age of the church nowadays that we don't no longer reverence our parents. How is it that we're going to grow? How are we going to make an impact out there if we're just so caught up on being made comfortable? Things got to be comfortable in order for me to get to church. Things got to be going right for me to get to church. It's so comfortable to turn on the TV and watch every TV evangelist ask for money, and you have no problem with it because you ain't been challenged. Don't hate me. I appreciate all those big, highfalutin ministers out there. I do. But I look to the people that carry the cross. That you can see their struggle. You can see they're trying to make it. You can see they're trying to press through. You can see that they have faith within them to say, I'm not going to stay here. There's a place that I must go that doesn't look pretty to begin with, but I've got to get there anyway. And any way that I'm going to get there, I'm going to press through. But we no longer want to carry our own cross anymore. We want somebody else to carry it. We want to go ahead and get on the prayer line and have everybody pray for us, but we won't pray for ourselves. Looking to every prophet, give me a word. Here's the word, shut up and grow up. Want to go and get another word to see what the last word was about. And you haven't done that one. It hasn't come to pass yet. But you don't know how to get on your face and cry out unto the Lord. We don't have intercessors that know how to press through and pray through until they feel the release. Nowadays, we have everybody wanting to be an intercessor. For 10 minutes in the morning, they're going to intercede. Lord Jesus, no wonder why we have so many churches failing left and right. We don't have anybody covering them. The high seas of your call, if you're called to be an intercessor, then you're called to be on your face. You're called to be in the quiet times, in the places that no one wants to be in. In the recesses of your life, you've got to be able to press through and say, I've got to pray through. In the call that is going on in our life, we don't want to finish the race. We want to quit. We can't quit, but we can't stay comfortable either. We can't remain in a state of comfort because then we'll never leave. If I just get into your business for a little bit, most people don't want to get out of a relationship because of comfort. Well, if relationships ended very easily, then many would end it. to end a relationship gets messy. It gets very difficult, very challenging, and hardships come with it. But we have gotten so comfortable being in relationships that we shouldn't be in. And what I'm talking about is we're getting comfortable with the very thing that God's been trying to ask you to give to him. And we think that the grace of God is going to keep it covered. Comes a moment in time when God will remove that cover. And when he removes that cover, he wants to get you further towards your call. We don't like the chastisement that comes from God. The chastisement comes because you're not slaves, you're sons and your daughters. He chastises those he loves. You've been going through something and you don't quite understand the reason why you're going through it. That doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It means the mere fact that you're still here, he does love you. He is keeping you. He is holding you. And he's walking with you. The challenges that will come our way are going to challenge the very nature of what's inside of us. Do we truly believe? Do we truly believe? When I spoke to a couple of individuals this past week, it seemed to me that we were more concerned about success than we were of failures. Our failures in our life will make us look back to see some of the things that we have done in our life. Whether it been decisions we made emotionally? Was it things that we did based out of what we thought to seem right with God, or what we would put God's name on it saying it was God, but it wasn't God? We have some failures in our life, but that doesn't mean you're a failure. But if you're so caught up in being successful in everything that you're doing, you may want to just look back and see what God has called you to do. Because in your call and your gifting, those are the two elements that God puts inside his children, that he will use his gifting or their gifting to reach their call. The gifting will be used to add to the call, if you would. How many of you in here understand that what your gifting is? You know what your gifting is. Does it coincide with your call? Anybody that understands their gifting, does it not coincide with your call? Well, the reason why they go together is so that we can grow together in the very nature that God called us to do things. God never called us to do things alone. He called us to do things together. The reason why he called us to do it together is because every member of the body is jointly fit together for a purpose. The high seas of the high calling for your ministry, for whatever your call may be, is going to come with some consequences. Those consequences will come based on your emotions. Those consequences will come just because the mere fact you said yes to God. Now here, let me ask you this question. When you said yes to God and you said no to some certain things that you knew were wrong, you knew you were doing wrong, but you said yes to God, didn't it seem like all those things you said no to just intensified more? Didn't it seem like every time you said yes to God, everything else that you knew you shouldn't be doing presented itself even more to you? Yeah. Didn't it seem like every time you begin to get closer in your walk with Jesus, you spend time in the closet, you spend time in the Word, that something presents itself that's stronger than the last one? Are you seeing the increase on the distraction in your life? Are you seeing the increase of distortion in your life? What is distortion? Distortion means it's not coming across clear to you. Well, Pastor, I've been praying, but I just can't get the answer. I've had a dream, but I don't understand. How many of us have gone through that? And then we think, well, every dream that we have is from the Lord. No, it's not from God. Some of it is. You'll know when it's from God when he gives you understanding. A lot of it is you'll have these dreams and they come from what you have within you that you've been worried about. And your mind begins to conjure up the very thing that you're worried about. And then you see it in your dream and you believe that that's a message from God, that he's saying that this is what's going to happen. If that been the case, I'd have been dead numerous of times. And it'd been dead by me going over a cliff with me driving a vehicle that I can't see where the road ends, the cliff ends, and I go over. I've had that dream numerous of times. You know what it is? I'm afraid of heights. So is the Lord telling me, Marty, you're afraid of heights? No, I know I'm afraid of heights. So I know some things that we can conjure up in our mind that would take us to a place and we start seeing some things that we manufacture based out of our soulless realm. We've got to be careful. Because as we go down the course of our walk and our chasing our call, there's consequences. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, and 10. 2 Kings 2, verse 9 and 10. This is Elijah and Elisha. Elijah's getting ready to be taken up. And verse 9 says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. Verse 10, you have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said, yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be yours. Otherwise, it will not. You've asked for a difficult thing. How many of us have been asking God for some difficult things? Come on now. Because if it wasn't difficult and you could do it, then you didn't need God to do it. You need a miracle to happen in your life, whether it be health, finances, marital issues, children issues, church issues, ministry issues. Come on. You can shout them out. What other kind of issues? Ministry? What else? Finances, Lord. What else? Relationships. Oh, what else? Oh, we need a husband? No. I'm a mess all by myself. Don't need to add someone else's mess, right? I'm trying to make it by myself. And I'm still a mess. Don't be bringing me more mess with somebody else. But here's the thing. We're going to make it through. We're going to learn some things. But the reality is there's a hard thing that we've asked. Elisha asked for a hard thing. So then now Elijah is taken up. Elisha gets the mantle. He gets a double portion of the spirit, crosses over to the other side, does the exact same thing that Elijah has done. But now, all of a sudden now, he's got to live with the cost of that calling on his life. How many of you know when you start stepping into a new position, you're on a probationary period. They're watching you. How many times have you been in a job where you get hired and you're all excited about the job? You get there, it's good. And about the next week or two, you start to realize it ain't all that. They painted a real good picture for you to say yes. And then you get in and you start seeing all these kind of cracks in the foundations, if you would, and the leadership and all kinds of things. And then it's just not the same anymore. But you can't be missing so much work because you're on probation. Well, can you imagine the prophet that just receives this mantle? The prophet of God, Elijah, has been taken away. And now Elisha is the one that accepted this call and is walking in this dimension of leadership and responsibility. And now he's got everybody watching him. Have you ever been in that situation where you're used to following? You didn't have to take the lead. And you think, well, if I ever get to lead, I think I can do it. But then when it's time to lead, next thing you know, it's like, this is totally different. Even though they were in the same place at the same time, all Elisha had to do was follow. Didn't have to lead. didn't have to put something together to do things for people to create miracles. He just had to walk in it. So the next miracle that takes place is the water is very bitter and they're crying to him, help us, help us. And he says, just throw a little salt in the water. And it's purified. Can you imagine if that didn't turn the water pure? Think about it. He didn't see Elijah do it, but he accepted responsibility. Now responsibility's on him. How many times have you understood that the call that's on your life comes with responsibility? Not just your responsibility, but people around you that are looking to you for leadership, looking to you for guidance. They're looking at you to say, what are you going to do to help my situation? Do you think that's some added stress to Elisha? I think so. So now, as you're the one that has accepted the call, I'm going to do this, God. I'm going to walk this out with you. I got my car. I know my gifting. I know my talent. I'm moving forward, God. I'm going to do this thing. Right? Now people are watching you. Now all the people are watching you. They're expecting you to perform for them. Every miracle that was performed, was it performed for Elijah or Elisha? No, it was performed for somebody else, right? So now there's an expectancy of you to perform. Now, at the very onset of this, you see the 50 prophets that are following them all along, watching every move. And you're stepping into the role of the prophet. The prophet to the land. Can you imagine the pressure that was on him? Can you imagine what he had to do to walk this thing out and see the manifestation of what God was going to do? There was added pressure. Now, let's back off the Bible just a little bit. How many of you are pet lovers in here? It's pretty much everybody in here, right? Since my mom is in the room, she can attest to this. When I was growing up as a kid, I would bother her every day for a dog. Did I not? And if she wouldn't take me to go get the dog, I would make sure I found a dog following me home. Collar and all. But watch this, watch this. Just because I wanted a dog, did I understand what the responsibility was going to be for me? Oh, no, I just want the dog. Give me a dog. I want a dog. Mom, I want a dog. Mom, I want a dog. I want a dog. I want a dog. And then you get a dog. But I didn't say that, Mom, I want a dog so that I can pick up the poop. Mom, I want a dog so I can potty train the dog. Mom, I want a dog so I can bathe the dog. Mom, I want a dog so I can walk the dog. Mom, I want a dog so I can make sure I take all the fleas out of the dog every time that he would get infested with fleas. I know. I just wanted a dog. You deal with the responsibility. I just want the dog. Mama would say no, and I'd still come home with dogs. Telling the truth, Mom? I said, Mama, it just followed me home. Look, Mom, it's so cute. It just followed me home. Can we keep it? Man, y'all are ruthless. Y'all say, nah, whatever. Yeah, let your kids look at you. I do my chores. I make my bed. The dog will eat the cat. I get the dog. Get the dog. Then after I get the dog, I realize something. The dog was going to grow. Wasn't going to stay cute. The dog wasn't going to stay a little puppy long. You know how the puppies get. They want to play. They're cuddly. I mean, they get cute. It's so cute, a puppy. Ah, look at him. Don't pee on that. Don't pee on that. Don't pee on that. See, we don't understand what is coming just because we desire something. And I didn't know that dogs were teethers. They teeth before they get their teeth in. I didn't understand that. I'm a kid. I didn't know. Mama knew. So every time the dog started chewing on some furniture, I made sure I would hide the furniture. Turn it a little bit, put a little basket there, put a little, you know, pillow there or something, because the dog started chewing on everything. Now, the dog that I brought home that I wanted was a German Shepherd. How many know that German Shepherds don't start out big? They're nice and little, cute, fluffy, but they grow fast. I was going right there with that. See, you feed them one time, you think that's it. Eat once, you're good. No. They want to eat more and more. So a lot of my time was spent picking up some stuff. Yeah, boy. And if I didn't pick up the stuff, mama said, I ain't picking it up. You got to pick it up. And if you don't pick it up, mama's 5'2". And you would never think a fluffy, padded, little chancla that is about a size 5.5 would ever hurt so much. But you see, when I asked for something, I didn't realize how difficult the thing was, even though it was just a little puppy. It would grow, and more responsibility would come. The call that is on your life comes with responsibility, and it's going to grow. What you do to mature it determines what you do with it. If you don't do anything with your call or your gifting or your talent, it'll remain as a little thing. But if you never bring it forth and you never begin to utilize what God has called you to do or to utilize your gift, it will remain dormant in your life until something comes to challenge you. During the challenging times of your life, the thing that he put inside of you will be drawn out of you. If you watch it and pay attention to it, he'll show you. But it's usually our attitude that keeps us from really seeing what he's trying to do. Because we get mad. How many of you are reactionary? Yeah. Yeah, we get mad. Don't act like you're so holy in here. You're full of holes, all right. Because everywhere we have a button to push, it gets pushed. And we see movies been brought out about the finger of God, and the finger of God does all kinds of great magical and huge miracles, like, oh my God. But the finger of God gets right into that place in your life and pushes that very button in your life to prove to you, you haven't yet overcome it. You're still dealing with an anger issue. He's going to push that button. You still dealing with that jealous issue? He's going to push it. Dealing with rejection and dealing with all kinds of stuff. He's going to push that button. And you're going to react. In that reactionary process, we begin to see what's really inside of us. And we get mad. We don't want to deal with it. But he wants to show us what's really there. He wants to pull out of us what he's put inside of us. And he's given us all great things, good things. But we don't understand it if we don't use it. But when we go through a season in our life where the fire intensifies in our life, next thing you know, something's getting ready to challenge you. Going to challenge your knowledge of what you know about God. Going to challenge the knowledge of what you know about his principles. And then all that challenging, it's making you a better Christian. Right? We would like to think so. We would like to think so. But the reality is we start reacting to the things that God is doing in our life and we get mad. And I said, God, I can't do this. This is just too much. It's just too hard. I don't want the dog no more. just because I wanted the dog. He was just showing me, Marty, you don't even know how to take care of yourself, but you want to take care of a dog. Mama's got to work. Daddy's got to work, but you're over here by yourself. You want a dog because you're lonely. You think that dog is going to fulfill the needs that you want. Can't. Sure, you can talk to the dog. Sure. It comes with responsibility. I said, no, I don't want the dog no more. Like we can get rid of it. Sure. So what does Marty do? Goes and gets another dog. Did I not? I got the German Shepherd, and then I went and got a stray. Glutton for punishment. So I bring in another dog. This one's a puppy again. Still didn't learn. German Shepherd was big now. I had this brown little dog called Barnaby. Y'all remember Barnaby Jones? Barnaby Jones? Okay. I called the dog Barnaby. I like Barnaby. Barnaby died. Yeah, that's what I did. Ah! So what did I do? Got another dog. The whole time, the German Shepherd, his name's Chobi. Chobi's looking at me like, for real? Did you forget about me? I sleep in your bed with you. I wait at the front for you when you're coming home from school. When mom leaves to go pick up grandma, I wait with you right here. You see, you're talking about what do we do when the pressure is on and then the responsibility increases? We just don't want to deal with the responsibility, so we go and get something new. Some of y'all went to that relationship. Just because they nag at you for being lazy doesn't mean that they're a nag. It means you're lazy. So that don't mean you go and get yourself another one. We through because you're nothing but a nag. What you nagging about? You get yourself another relationship? Hold up. Now, I ain't talking about being married. I'm just, you know, hey. Y'all don't get rid of relationships like that. Shame on y'all. Next relationship you get into, they're nagging about you because you're lazy. And then they evil. Because you're not seeing things the way I'm seeing things. You got to go. But nagged on you about the same thing that the former one did. Okay. So you get rid of that one. Eventually, you're going to have to deal with you, the common denominator, and all the issues that you're having to deal with different people. You are drawing the type of person that God is sending you to correct the thing in your life. But you don't want to listen. You want to point outwardly instead of inwardly. So the dog died. Not Chobi, though. That German Shepherd was determined to live. So, I said, you know what? The puppy thing ain't working out. Someone get me a cat. Am I telling you a true story? I can tell you what house I lived in. I was still a kid. I know exactly. It was the back garage in the back. I got me a cat. I got this one. Now I can play with the cat. The cat can go in the litter box. I ain't got to do nothing. Thank you. So Tarzana was the name of this cat. You remember Tarzana, Mom? Tarzana had the German Shepherd in check. In check. What am I trying to tell you? God has a way of showing you. He said, how are you going to get from German Shepherd, Tarzana, cat, to God? Let me tell you. He's going to elevate the process in your life that you think you got figured out. So all of a sudden, now I'm having to deal with the cat. The cats are nice and cut. I can't play with the kitty cat. And I would say, you better go clean that box. Now, we weren't always well-to-do financially. So if we would get those Coke, you know how the Coke comes with that little carton that when you buy a case of Coke, it has a little carton at the bottom. So you just put the litter in there. That's the litter box. So you know the lip ain't but much that big. So you go ahead and put a litter box in there. Where does all the stuff go? On the outside. Yeah. Messy. Very messy. I mean, being a knucklehead that I am, think I'm going to be real slick. I'm going to hide it. Mama come home one day. Son, did you clean? I clean the litter box. Clean the litter box. All happy. Can I go play? Can I go ride my bike? I smell. It's not clean here. How is she going to know it's not clean? I hid it under the bed. And she comes in. I smell it in here. No. See, because I didn't want to pick it up. So you get a broom. Don't look at me like that, because y'all going to try to get past some things too. See, what happens is God tells us to do a certain thing and we don't want to do it. We want to cut corners when God tells us to do it. See, what I'm trying to tell you is Mama was God. She knew everything. She had eyes all over the place. She could see it. Before the internet was ever around, Mama could see with the webcam and see. See, she knew everything. God can see all things. Think you can hide things from Mom? Mama walk in the house and you didn't clean up the poop. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And much less, you didn't even clean up your room. I made my bed. So what do? As kids, we put everything under the big cover, put the cover on top of it. We don't know nothing about those big old lumps. I don't know how they got there. See, what I'm trying to tell you is that God is trying to get to us the responsibility of our call, and so that we can utilize it right. He knows when we're trying to cut corners. He knows when we don't want to deal with the mess, but he's trying to tell us it's time for you to deal with it now for where I'm taking you. Amen. You can ask for a dog. You can ask for a kitty cat. Then the next thing you know what I did? I asked for a fish. That's the worst kind of cleaning. I went back to the cat after that. I don't want to. The fish, because you got to keep the fish alive when you're cleaning the bowl. I didn't know nothing about that. I was just a kid. Got a pet rock. Wait, hold on now, Johnny. Hold on, Johnny. I went from the fish to a hermit crab. Hermit crab. You remember hermit crab? That was the biggest thing that was going on. I went to Wins to go buy it. See, come on. Y'all know about that Wins. So I got that thing. And you know how the shells were all nice and painted and everything? All you got to do is just leave it in the box and you'll be all right. Everything that I was getting that I was responsible to take care of was dying. And everything was dying but my German Shepherd. Every time I go and get me a new pet, here comes Chubby right there with me. What'd you get? Can I eat it? What'd you get? So then I would get mad at the German Shepherd and hit him. No, you can't eat it. So my frustrations were taken out on him. Well, ease up now. I didn't kick. I just like, no. You know, you hit on the snout. No. You know, you just hit no. Right? Then why y'all get mad when God does that to you? Why you get mad when God gets to you about how you acting and how you responding? Hits you on the snout like that, you get mad. See, we get all angry when God wants to deal with them the way that we start acting towards some things or towards some people. We can't even sit in churches today because somebody has ought against their brother. Let God come in and say, you know what? I've been trying to deal with this thing for a long time, but you've been hiding this thing. You've been sweeping this thing under the rug. You've been hiding, covering things. But the reality is you don't want to ever deal with it. So I'm going to keep pushing that button to show you it's not your neighbor. It's you. See, I was getting mad because these things were dying. Guess who was killing them? Me. The hermit crab. Hermit Crab was inside the shell, never wanted to come out. I was like, what's wrong? It was too cold in the apartment because I like it cold. I put that thing all the way down. Hermit crab's not supposed to be in cold. But I know they did eat and drink water. Not hermit crabs. What? I thought you just let them just run on your hands. And so you're not supposed to give up food and water? See, we try everything. But even in my failures, watch this. Pet rock ran away on me. It was round. It just rolled right away. Could never catch a break. It kept on rolling. But my German shepherd went to retrieve it. Didn't bring it back to me. Gonna kill the rock too? See, the very first one that I asked Mama for is the only one that lasted. Don't miss this. The other ones I didn't ask for, I just brought. But the one I went to God for and asked for lasted. But the ones that I took on my own didn't last. See, every time you try to do things on your own to try to circumvent what God has already given you, it's going to die. But when it's God, it will withstand the storms in your life. It'll follow you, be loyal to you. Not going to harm you. It's there to help you. Every time you think you can get rid of it, it comes back to you. How many times did we give Mama, I'm talking to you. I know that leave the baby alone. The baby's okay. Baby wants a dog. I hear it by the Lord. How many times did we get rid of Chobi and give it away? Because we moved into apartments. Watch this. Every time I would go see my grandmother, which lived in the outskirts of San Antonio during that time, where Fiesta, Texas is, go over there. We took the German Shepherd over there. Every time that we would drive up down that dirt road, waiting for me. Couldn't wait to get out of the car to go see my dog. Once we got a house again, guess where that dog went? With me. Why did I share that with you? Because there's times in our walk with God that we try to shelve our calling. And it's just waiting and waiting until you just pick it up. God is not going to take away your calling because the gifts and calls are without repentance. Even though you go through so much and even though you get so mad, even though you react a certain way, even when you yourself shelf it, it waits patiently for you. See, the consequences in our life with our call have to deal with us, not the call. Not the call. We get mad at the call. I don't want to do this no more because it's a responsibility. No, you don't know how to deal with responsibility. It's not your call. You don't know how to deal with responsibility. You don't know how to deal with your character, not the call. The call stands waiting for you to get yourself right. You understand? See, we sit and wonder, how come we haven't gotten any further in our call? It's not the call's responsibility to make you better. It is your responsibility to get your character right, your integrity right, to keep your morals and standards in line with the Bible, what God has instituted. Then your call has just been waiting all along. So after you get in those challenging situations and still reacting the same way, your call is still waiting on you. It's still waiting on you. Then when God says, okay, now it's time for you to go pick it back up. Then you go and pick it back up, but he didn't say you were made perfect yet. You're still going to be made perfect on the next challenge that's going to come your way. See, I understand that certain things that are going to happen to us as we move forward in God. At first, things look nice and cuddly and nice. Soft, playful, just like our walk is when we first got saved. But over the course of time in our salvation and our walk with God, things come with responsibility in your walk. What are those responsibility? To spend time with God. Stay in your word. Get in prayer. And keep your attitude in check. If we don't deal with those things, you're going to find yourself picking up a lot of mess. A lot of mess. Not that the call did, that you did. And we've got to make sure that we're watching it, paying attention to it. All I was talking about was my dogs, my cats, and my fish. Still get fishes. And I hate cleaning the tank. I'll tell the story and I'm going to end right here. I got one of those betta fish. They're the worst ones. They're the hardy ones, though. They can be in the dirtiest of waters. Shoo. I mean dirty, 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 dirty water. Full of their own poop. The pH level in that so high, so extreme, they still living. Still living. One day I went to go and clean my fish tank. Clean that fish tank. Got my rocks, put the rocks back in and where's the fish? I forgot to put the fish in another bowl. It went right down there. It went finding Nemo. But it's kind of like us when we think that we got all things put together and we'll leave our call and our mandate and just leave it alone. It starts to get real messy, but we don't want to deal with it. And finally, all of a sudden, we want to deal with it now. We just get so in a rush to do it that we hurt some things along the way, which are usually the people that God has called to be at your side. See, Pastor, why you want to go with the betta fish, and then you're going to talk about hurting people? How do you get there? Because we are so busy in a hurry that we're not paying attention to the help that God has sent to you. But you're so busy going through a rush, doing everything in a rush and a haste. You are hurting the people around you and whom you're supposed to be caring for. The fish was in the mess because I didn't take care of the tank. Oh, I don't know. Can I break it down for you? Okay, look. The only reason why the water got messy and dirty is because I wasn't cleaning up after the fish. My laziness caused me to rush through, even though I was doing something which was supposed to be good, but I didn't pay attention and I was doing it in haste. And I hurt the fish along the way. Maybe it lived. Maybe it had to just run away from me. I don't know. It swam through the things and got out and it lived. Who knows? But you see, we hurt people along the way when we're not paying attention. And God has assigned people in your life to be with you. You first have to figure out what you're supposed to do together. How you're going to do it together. How many times have you been trying to figure something out with somebody and try, how's this going to work? I don't know. Do you know? I don't know either. It's going to get messy. Oh, sure enough, it's going to get messy. How are we going to deal with it? I don't know, but God always brings us back together. How are we going to do it? I still don't know. But we're going to do it? Yeah, we're going to do it. Just take care of me. I take care of you. If you watch me, I watch you. We'll take care of each other. I'm going to make sure I'm not going to do this in haste. I'm going to make sure I'm going to take care of what I need to take care of. You take care of what you need to take care of. And together, we'll make sure that we can get further along the way. But it's our emotions that get in the way. Our emotions get in the way all the time. All the time they get in the way. And all he's trying to do is, I've assigned people to you. Now watch this. To every call. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. So if you're chosen, are you chosen by yourself? No. If many are called, are they called by themselves? No, God has a buddy system. Jesus said it. I only do as I see my I only say what I hear my father. So he was doing, working in tandem, working together with the father. What about Moses and Joshua? See, Joshua is watching Moses the whole time. See, there must be always someone with you that's going to help further your. But if you're so worried about them going past you, then you're never going to get past where you need to be because you're worried about somebody else getting further than you. We've got to make sure that everything we do is so that somebody can go further than we've been. If we can push the next individual to go to the next place in their life, guess what God is going to do to you? He's going to get you to the next phase in your life. Because the more you do for somebody else, he's going to do for you. The more you do for God, he's going to do for you. When you start sowing into somebody else's life, and doing for them, guess what God is going to do for you? He is going to bring things that are necessary for you. But it's when we shut down, the call has been put on the shelf, then we want to join the call and be put on the shelf as well. Because of our attitude. Because of our response to what God is trying to do. God is trying to get us to see that you can't be a Joshua without being a Moses. You've got to have a Moses in your life. You can't be Elijah unless you're an Elisha. You have to learn to follow. You have to learn to watch. You have to learn to see what God is doing in their life, even though they're messing up or not messing up. You just got to follow. I read in those scriptures, they didn't ridicule either one of them. They didn't judge them. They didn't come against them. They just followed. They weren't critical. They just followed. Can we follow those that God has put in our life? Can we help them get to where they need to go? Because then God can get you to where you need to go. Amen. Amen. So our call comes with a challenge. Our challenge comes with consequences. And the consequences are there for us to grow. Hebrews 12:1-14. I'm just going to read it and then we'll close. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Do you understand what that means? He's the one that shed the blood for you. He's gone through all the pains. He's gone through everything. And we have got to understand what he has done for us. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son in whom he receives. It is for your discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. And we respected them. And we respected them. And just say one more time. And we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We must endure to the end. We must bear our cross. We must be ready for the chastisement, but follow with a call of clarity that the Lord has called us to do a great thing for the kingdom of God. We can't stop. We can't give up, because God is not stopping on us. It's not easy. We can choose the things that look nice, cute and cuddly, but even those things have responsibilities. The one that is loyal to you is God. He'll never stop. He'll never stop. As Josh comes to play, I want you, if you would, to stand to your feet. And if you can and will, give your 100% to God. We can't be the same. Times are tough. Times are hard. We're going through a lot of tough things. But in reality, God wants us to give 100% to Him, regardless of our circumstance. We've got to carry our cross. We've got to carry the burdens that He's placed upon us. They're light. The yoke is light and easy. But we've got to endure to the end. We carry it for a reason. We don't carry it for ourselves. We carry it for those that are following. A responsibility that is placed on you requires for you to give 100%. If you play with God and only give Him just a little bit, you will see that He'll chastise you so He can train you up. He wants us to give 100% to Him, for He gave us His 100%. He gave His best for us. We got to give our best for Him. That doesn't mean you're being made to be a holy, perfect person right now. That means just commit to giving Him 100% all the time. Don't pick and choose, but give Him 100%. We're going to go through things. Doesn't come easy. We know that. But trust and know that God has His hand on you, that He wants to bring you all the way through. He wants to show you His goodness and His love to you. Even when we fall short and we have fallen, He's there to pick us right back up. When we get angry and ornery with God because things aren't going our way, just know that He's doing it and allowing it to come your way because He wants us to grow in Him. It's not always going to be easy, but it's not always going to be hard either. There will be a seasons of rest that we will enter in. And in that time, you will see that God will begin to restore to you the years that you have struggled, the things that have been taken from you, relationships that may have been stripped from you, the peace that you felt that has slipped away, or even the very ailments in your body that has caused your body to be weak and weary. Know that the Spirit of God wants to restore to you health and restore to you peace into your heart and into your mind. So as you stand there, I want you to raise your hand if you're willing to give 100% to God. And if you're not, that's just between you and God. That's just between you and God. This isn't judgment. This isn't to put you on blast. This is just to say, God, I want to give you 100%. I want to trust what you're doing in my life, God. Even when I can't see the responsibility, the consequences, I just want to trust you anyways. You're faithful and true always. Help me in this matter in my life that I must overcome. If there's a common denominator and it's me, God, then show me so I can work on that issue and give it to you. I want to be 100% for you. You know, something has come into our life or into our life that was not sent by you, that you allowed to come in. Father, I just surrender to you and I cast all my care upon you. And tonight, Father, I want to leave here out of this sanctuary out of the place where God dwells, out of your home, your house, Lord. I want to leave different and changed. I want to leave with the fire that is inside my spirit that says, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to give 100% all of the time to you. I will live a balanced life for my family, my church, my ministry. But more importantly, you're always first, God. Help me to understand the balance that is necessary for me. Lord, if there's anything that I've ever done that has caused you to be grieved, I ask you to forgive me right now. I ask you, Lord, to just search my heart. Search it, Lord. And anything that is in me that grieves you, reveal to me so that I can remove it, deal with it, and walk out my deliverance with you. Lord, I surrender unto you now. I want to walk in the perfect will of God. Magnify the call, magnify the grace on my life so that I walk continually in your favor. Lord, I understand it's not about me, but it's about those that you've called for me to be an influence to. So, Lord, I just thank you that tonight, as you speak into the hearts of your people, Lord, that you raise them up. You raise them up, God. You touch the very life and the very ailment in their life that has caused them to be distorted in vision, distorted in their walk. We remove it now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the healing that is going forth tonight. I thank you, God, that you've allowed us to spend time together with you tonight. But you exhort us to do greater. You exhort us to do more. And I thank you for the spirit of exhortation to go forth now to do even greater things by the way of love that is demonstrated from us to them. Let us be a light, Father, that is bright and bright, that is shining bright right now in this darkest hour of this dispensation of the church. Let us begin to see, Father, that the hand of God is moving for your people. Let us not continue to have church as normal, but let us walk into the sanctuary expecting greater. Let us walk into churches all across the land expecting to see you move, God. As we put a demand on your hand and a demand on your love, Father, we thank you that there'll be a demonstration of your glory, Father, that will bring people into repentance because of your goodness. And let there be a people that will be ready to receive them, Lord. So tonight, Lord, we just thank you that we leave here challenged but transformed of the renewing of our mind, but through a commitment, Father, that we make with you. So we thank you tonight, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've already done. And Lord, we just bless what you're about to do. I pray this now in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you're the triune God in whom we trust in. And I thank you that we can go before you because of your Son, Jesus. I thank you now for your mercy and your grace and the blood that you shed for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.